Thanks for joining us on the JX. When it's this cold outside, emergency shelters open up in some towns to give homeless people places to stay the night with no danger of freezing. The rest of the nights, they're pretty much on their own if regular shelter space is maxed out. People complain about campsites and tents out in view of the public, but the people who are camping in those tents point out their limited options. The Oregon legislature failed to pass a Right to Rest Act 2 years ago, but it's up for discussion again. Supported by the Western Regional Advocacy Project, or WRAP, Paul Bowden is the executive director and one of our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, good morning.
Jade Arellano is with us as well, the organizing director for the Western Regional Advocacy Project. Hi, Jade. Paul, your website says right up front what you see as the main cause of homelessness. Give us that story.
Well, you know, 40 years ago, and it is 40 years this year, the country was in a recession. It was the early years of the Reagan administration. And people went, holy crap, what's happening now? There's a crisis. We called it homelessness. And the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, started opening emergency shelters for this temporary crisis we were calling homelessness. 40 years later, we have even less housing opportunities for poor people. We never restored the budget cuts that were implemented in the 80s and 90s. We did Hope 6 and welfare reform in the mid-90s under Clinton. And we wonder why this problem just seems intractable and won't go away. And the reason is because we're trying to address the issue of unhoused community members with shelters and sanctioned encampments. And after 40 years, we need to admit this ain't working, folks. This isn't service-resistant unhoused people. This isn't those of us that are from the streets. We decided to go camping in the mid-80s, because somehow under the Reagan administration, camping seemed like the way to go. No, we have wiped out affordable housing funding for poor people. We tripled the housing subsidies for homeowners, and we wiped out the housing subsidies for poor people, and we wonder why this ain't going away. It's not going away because we're not addressing the cause of the fact that we have homelessness. And we all know nothing ends homelessness like a home.
So, Jade Arellano, lay out some of the issues while people are homeless. A lot of your campaigns are focused on people without homes getting hassled while they're in that situation.
Yeah, so criminalization is actually a major focus for WRAP, and it is one of the main reasons that we see people being unable to stabilize, in addition to, like what Paul said, how people are, unable to access truly accessible, culturally appropriate services in addition to there just being no housing at all, not even affordable housing. People are relentlessly and mercilessly criminalized on the streets for sitting, standing, lying down, for sharing food. There are, so many laws, both in terms of direct sit-lie ordinances and even zoning laws down to more private, public-private partnerships that sort of really ultimately make it illegal for unhoused people to exist in public space. It really exacerbates any sort of mental and physical health issues that people may have. Folks that we've talked to on our street outreach have said, it's impossible to even get any sleep when it's the police, it's private security, it's house people that are constantly telling you, you have to move, you can't be here.
That is a lot of it, isn't it? Don't be here, but no description of where to go when you're not here.
Right.
And no recognition of what happened prior to the early 1980s that suddenly people are in this situation. Like, we're constantly doing point-in-time headcounts or passing judgment on how those of us that are unhoused live our lives, or why might we be in this situation. The one uniform across-the-board reality is we wiped out residential treatment funding for indigent people with disabilities, and we wiped out, like, hundreds of thousands. Like, we counted in the last 25 years, over 546,000 units of public housing across the country that are no longer there, that used to exist but have been demolished or sold off by the federal government. That's a recipe. Betty Crocker couldn't give you a better recipe for how to create homelessness in a community than to wipe out the stock of affordable housing that previously existed.
Paul Bowden and Jade Arellano are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange with the Western Regional Advocacy Project, talking about homelessness and the ability for people to get a chance to rest. You can join our conversation on the exchange by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jade, the cities that develop special teams like Medford, Oregon, and its livability team within the police department, are they producing any different results or outcomes?
So I'm less familiar with the Medford team, but I imagine that it's really similar to, you know, a sort of national model that's been developing in which, you know, outreach workers or social workers team up with police to, you know, sort of address, quote-unquote, address encampments. And, you know, what I can say is that a lot of times these teams, they're not dedicated to, you know, asking people what they need, to building a rapport with people who are living outside. It's really dedicated to what, you know, what we call sweeps. Which is the sort of violent eviction of unhoused people from public space that often coincides with the destruction, you know, and or theft of their possessions. And so, yeah, we're not really seeing results from that because, you know, sweeps are part of this whole cycle of criminalization where people, you know, are constantly destabilized and brutalized, really, by law enforcement and by these policies in a really direct way. You know, sweeps are traumatic, and even if people, you know, wanted to accept services, one, they're less likely to do so under sort of extreme duress, and two, a lot of times, you know, sort of the way that these teams work, they work with sort of by leveraging services, right? So there can be like a tightly restricted number of shelter beds. These teams will go out and offer these beds, but let's say that they offer 10 beds in a day. Right, and they go out to three different encampments. Well, even if every single person accepted a bed, it would be impossible to fit 20 or 25 or so people in 10 beds. It just doesn't work. And so the way the model works actually is it counts on people to not be able to access services, and it's really about, you know, relocating people, not necessarily helping them in the way that they want to be helped.
Right. There was an Oregon Right to Rest Act introduced in the legislative session 2 years ago. It died in committee. Are you trying pretty much the same thing this session?
Yes, we are. So the legislative concept that's been submitted by Representative Farah Chaichi, who is reintroducing the Right to Rest Act, is identical to the 2021 bill, HB 2367.
Because it doesn't matter how many times they say no. And really meaningful legislation rarely passes the first time it's introduced. And this is such a simple bill. If somebody is standing still, sitting down, or laying down in a non-obstructive manner, meaning they ain't bothering nobody, they're just trying to survive, not camp, survive, leave them alone. Homelessness isn't a police issue. It isn't lack of police that created homelessness in the 1980s. There's lack of housing. So no matter how many police teams or camping enforcement teams get created or how many stay-away orders or Tennessee has now made it a felony to camp, they love to say we're camping. I say we're surviving. But to camp on state property in the state of Tennessee is now a felony. California's got a statewide bill to make it illegal to sit on a sidewalk. Sitting on a sidewalk as a residual impact of homelessness, and we think if we can make it so people can't stand still, sit down, lay down, eat, or sleep, that we've addressed the issue of homelessness? That's a sundown town, man. We're back in the anti-Oki days of sundown towns and stay-away orders. And it's just not, one, effective, and two, these are human beings. These are our community, and we should treat our community as if they deserve respect and treat them as if they're human beings.
Paul Bowden and Jade Arellano are guests on the Jefferson Exchange from the Western Regional Advocacy Project. We're talking about homelessness and things like the introduction, once again, in the Oregon Legislature of a Right to Rest Act. You've got a couple minutes left to join the conversation with your emails at jx@jeffnet.org. Joey in Talent writes, it's wonderful to hear someone articulate the truth about homelessness so clearly. Thank you, Paul Bowden. Paul, you've already got people with houses spooked about tents on city sidewalks. They share pics on Facebook and wonder aloud, what happened to our town? Is there likely to be more of that if things like the Oregon Right to Rest law passes?
I mean, I've been doing this now 40 years since I came up off the street. And people have been freaking out and asking that same question. What is happening in our town? Name your town, because it's across the country. That's where we're trying to get people to understand the WPA and what we today call HUD was created in the 1930s to address the same issue that we're dealing with right now, extreme poverty and people living out in our streets. And we created a Federal Housing Administration to address that. We then dismantled it with the neoliberal Reagan Revolution of the 1980s, and the same problem comes back. Cause and effect. And that's what people, if you want to deal with tents on your sidewalk, trust me, in the 60s and the 70s when I was growing up, we didn't just decide to pitch a tent on a freaking sidewalk. We're not camping, we're surviving. So let's address the issue of survival. You want to get rid of tents and people sleeping in the parks, have housing opportunities, because I can guarantee you 99.8% of us will jump at the housing. You know, there was just a study the other day they were talking about and how amazing it is in Houston when people got into housing, they stayed there. Yeah, duh. Like, how stupid do you think we are? You make sure I have an opportunity for a decent place to live. I'm going to choose that over sleeping in your freaking streets every day of the week.
That is a clear and striking number you gave earlier, that we are 546,000 units short of where we were for publicly supported housing from 40 years ago. Is there any effort to restore that, any effort to restore the housing subsidies of years past? I mean, people don't like the projects, I guess, is what partly led to that, but they also don't like seeing tents. So what do they
do? I was really disappointed to see Biden's new plan that came out in December with very little fanfare. But it's a three-year plan to reduce homelessness by a third by sending consultants into local communities to talk about how to coordinate intakes or some crap like that. Like, we're doing everything but five-year plans, 10-year plans, chronic homeless plans, HUD-VASH plans. We're doing everything but restoring the funding to affordable housing. And so we will keep Jade and I and all of our member organizations, we will keep raising hell until the simplicity of let's look at what caused the problem and address it from that perspective. And that always leads back to the restoration of affordable housing funding. I don't see it under this Congress, but maybe in the Senate we can push some of this forward, because 40 years of stupid isn't getting the problem addressed. And let's actually get at the core of it and address it from its cause.
Jade, to the items that are coming up before the Oregon legislature, what happened 2 years ago? Why did the Right to Rest Act not even get out of committee?
That's a great question. We often wonder the same thing. I mean, we had a really strong, you know, group of folks who are giving their testimony, people with lived experience. We've been working really closely with the legislator introducing the act. Ultimately, what we believe happened was that Tina Kotek had introduced HB 3115, and the messaging around that bill, you know, it first off, the Right to Rest is conceived of as a homeless bill, in which it is, you know, as it would drastically improve the quality of life of unhoused people. It is not a homeless bill, it's a human rights issue, right? Because when laws exist that allow law enforcement to sort of discriminately enforce you know, where and when anyone technically can be, you know, it is an issue for everybody, and it doesn't only affect unhoused people. But nonetheless, it was sort of posed as a homeless bill, and 3115 was the other quote-unquote homeless bill in the legislature. Again, it was sort of backed as being very similar to the Right to Rest Act, but it is very, very different. So what HB 3115 does is it declares that any ordinances such as camping bans must be made reasonable by 2023. And so, you know, the flaw there is that criminalization can never be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, in order for people to contest the reasonableness of the ordinances, you know, ordinances like if you lay down on your jacket, that's camping.
Okay, Jade, we're out of time here. I very much appreciate your time, both of you, and hope to get the chance to talk about this again, both at the state and national level. Paul Bowden, Jade Arellano, Western Regional Advocacy Project, thanks for joining us on the JX.